In the 90s, he had over 30 singles on the Billboard country charts. Seven reached number one.
I can love you like that.
I swear.
I swear.
And Soul. Were named by Billboard as the top country songs of 1994 and 1995. This is Hello from the 90s with John Michael Montgomery.
Hello from the 90s. It's John Michael Montgomery.
Hey, John Michael Montgomery. Let's talk a little bit about the early 90s. When you talk about 90s country, dude, that's you. And you got started back, Life's a Dance, I guess, was the very first album or tape you put out. And something that I always find interesting is the songs that maybe you passed up to put on your first album, and did they make it to anybody else's album?
Well, first of all, it's really funny to hear you say the word tape.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, very few people would even understand. What do you mean tape?
Yeah.
How did they use tape back in those days? But, cassette tape, of course. There was a few songs, I think, that made it on a few other albums. A couple of them, I think, were trying to think of his name, Billy
Dean?
Billy Dean, yeah. Great guy. He had a song I remember that was a hit. Now, don't ask me to remember what it was, but I remember he had one that I had passed on. It was a pretty good song. I don't think I passed on anything that ended up being, you know, as big as the ones that I ended up keeping.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, I love The Way You Love Me, number one song, and probably the best wedding song of the early 90s. When you recorded that song, did you look around and go, heck yeah, this is going to be played at everybody's wedding?
Well, it was funny because I was wanting that to be the first single off of Life's a Dance album. And, of course, the label and the producer said, oh, no, we got to do Life's a Dance. This is, you know, and I was like, okay. I knew that I Love the Way You Love Me could have a chance to be really big for me. And, of course, every artist wants that career hit. So when we were able to put that out, that actually ended up being my first number one record. And it's still my favorite ballad to sing because the lyrics were written so cleverly. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the label head exec of Atlantic called me up after I got the album finished. He says, you got to go back in and recut this I Love the Way You Love Me. You sang the lyrics backwards. And I went, what are you talking about? He said, I like the feel of your name on my lips, and I like the sound. He said, it's supposed to be the other way, ain't it? I said, no. I said, that's the way it's written. That's why it's so cool.
Right.
Is I like the, you know, feel of your name on my lips was just so cool instead of the other way around. And the sound of your sweet, gentle kiss. And I was like, that's what is so cool about that song. And then, of course, I really thought that that was going to be my biggest career song ever. You know, and I was like, man, you know, I've got that career song.
Yeah.
And then, of course, on the next album, I Swear came out, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I got another career song.
Yeah. Hey, it's always good to have two. And something about the I Love the Way You Love Me, which hardly ever happens for anybody. It's your second song on your first album, and it becomes single of the year at the Academy of Country Music Awards. I mean, that doesn't happen, and that just propelled you up to the next level on your very first album. Had to be thankful for that.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been playing the bars around here in Central Kentucky and stuff, and so, you know, I was tickled to death that Life's a Dance went number four, mm-hmm. and then have a number one single. I was, at that point right there, it was just pinch me mode, and I never even thought about getting, you know, first of all, I never even thought about getting nominated for anything because it was my debut album and stuff,
right.
and it's so hard. And so when I did get, you know, nominated, and I think it ended up winning, actually.
It did.
It
won.
At that point, I'm thinking, okay, what's happening? Last year I was playing this honky-tonk. You know?
Well, that's kind of how it goes. But, you know, everybody thinks it's overnight success. It never is, but it kind of feels that way, I guess, even to the person who's living it.
Well, it is, but if it happens fast like it did for me, I mean, it was actually almost – more than I was really overwhelmed with how fast my success hit. You know, I mean, I wasn't prepared for it, to be honest with you. I mean, I just came out of the nightclubs. I couldn't believe all this was happening. And of course, you know, I'm kind of laid back guy, you know, so
right.
All of a sudden I had people all around me, you know, just wanting, as Vince Gill sang, a piece of my time, and
right.
I was trying to give it to everybody I could, and there wasn't enough time in the day. And of course, you know, I mean, I was just, there's times that I'm like, what just happened? Because it went by so fast, I didn't even, you know, wasn't able to keep up with it.
Kicking It Up was the next one, and you mentioned I Swear, which of course was a huge song, so huge it crossed over, and so huge that a pop group covered it, All for One. When you heard they were going to do it, were you like, no way?
Well, it was funny because the label exec, Rick Blackburn at the time, he wanted to meet with me about the song going pop.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked me, he said, look, there's a group that's on the Atlantic, Nashville, New York, and they've recorded the song, but they want to make sure, you know, if you want to go pop with this, you have the first, you know, I mean, we just don't want to, you know, because at that time I was a hot artist, and I guess they wanted to make sure they weren't going to make me mad or something.
Right.
So, and I told them, I said, look, I said, I'm not a pop artist, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, I know the song could be a pop, big pop hit, but I said, you know, I don't really want to be a pop star. I want to be a country music singer, and that's kind of where I want to stay at. I don't want to jump over the lines there. And I said, some people are really good at doing that, but I said, I don't really want to go there. I said, so let them, you know, rock on. The song is definitely, I thought it was bigger than just the country format, that it could cross over and be huge. And I thought, and you know, they did a fabulous job on it.
You sang two of the hardest songs ever to sing along to, Be My Baby Tonight and Sold. How many takes did it take for you to sing those words that fast in both those songs?
Well, you know, I listened to those songs so much over and over and over in a pickup truck. And whatever vehicle I was driving, I would put my, at that time we had CD players in our vehicle. and I would literally just burn that song, both of those songs, back to back when I was going to go in the studio and sing them. I would just sit there and have them on repeat. And so they would just repeat over and over again, and I would just sing them over and over again. So when I did go in the studio, it made it a little bit easier, because those songs there, you don't want to have to think about singing them. You just want to, you know, if you're thinking about singing I Be My Baby, or especially Sold to Grundy County Auction, you're going to screw it up. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now.
No.
Especially if you're singing, if you're doing karaoke, you know, they actually, you know, they were definitely, I think the biggest thing with Sold especially was I had to learn how to breathe, get a good breath, and try to get that whole chorus done without having to breathe in the middle of words, you know. And
right.
And so, but hey, it took a lot of practice. There's no doubt about that. And I have to say, I've not messed it up too many times. There's been a couple of times if you have any kind of a distraction or a brain fart, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
You're going to mess that song up. I mean, and so I try not to think too much. It's kind of like the golf swing. Just swing at it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Now, I want to talk to you about what you're doing now, but one song that I think we have to talk about, and it's not necessarily from the 90s, but it's Letters from Home. And you can put that song on now, and it's still standing the test of time. To me, one of your greatest songs. Tell me what that song meant to you.
Well, I tell people the story. I mean, growing up, you know, in the late 60s and the early 70s, I was born in 65, and I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. My grandmother, which was my mom's, you know, mom, she had four boys, two girls. Three of those boys actually were in the military. The oldest one was actually, in the Vietnam War, but all the way back in the 40s or 50s back when they were having a Korean War.
Right.
The other two were in the Vietnam War, and I remember that, especially when they were coming home, you know, from overseas. And, you know, I just remember my grandmother, you know, how happy she was to know that, you know, they were coming home safe. And so this song kind of took me back to that time period and reminded me of that time. And, of course, it came, you know, it came after 2001, the 9/11 deal. Back in 2003, and there was a lot of other songs that were out at that time, you know, kind of about the war and things like that, and veterans, and I just thought this song kind of came from a different angle altogether, and it sang about something that's been so important in people's lives, and that's keeping in touch with each other through, you know, the simple pencil and paper, and you know, it's. Nowadays, with all the social media and stuff like that, you know, the handwritten letter is something that, you know, is not
it's non-existent.
Doesn't happen that much anymore. So I think it makes it even more special if somebody takes the time to actually handwrite a letter to somebody.
Absolutely.
And but my connection, you know, with it really helped open up the doors for me to be able to meet and go sing the song for veterans and at forts and different places to show my appreciation, because they are definitely my heroes. There's one thing that you will never have to question about me is our military is number one in my world, and they always will be. So it actually was a song that helped connect me with the families more, and I actually just did a show here during the Veterans Weekend for a bunch of veterans. There was several of them there that came to the show, and I love acknowledging them and singing a song for them.
That's great. Let's talk about now. We've gotten past the 90s, and one of the things that I've noticed here lately is your son Walker is getting into the music business. Are you happy about that or not?
Oh, I'm tickled to death. You know, I mean, I never pushed them to be in the one, you know, I always had the guitars around and the pianos around, and him and his sister both loved to sing and play, you know, instruments. And, I was like, my dad, we always had, me and my brother Eddie of Montgomery Gentry, we always had amplifiers and, instruments sitting around the house. A lot of times, as a matter of fact, that was our furniture. And my mom had her drums always set up, you know, ready for practicing at any time like that. Yeah,
right.
My mom played drums for my dad. But they never, ever pushed us to play music. It was always there for us if, you know, if we wanted it, you know, and then that's what happened with me. I picked up the guitar. I just really, you know, once I picked up the guitar, I gravitated toward it, and my passion got stronger and stronger, and that's the way it was, the way it is with Walker. And, he started playing guitar and singing a few years ago, 14, 15 years old. Now he's almost 19. He's been going down to Nashville some and writing. Well, he's wrote a really good song called Simple Town all by himself. So I went down there and had a couple of guys produce it, for me on him, and it turned out absolutely great. And so, we're trying to move his career along and hopefully get him a record deal and an album out next year and get him out on tour. He's as genuine as they come, and I think that's what people are going to like about Walker more than anything.
Well, I can say that about your entire family, John. You, Eddie, gosh, and you talk about musical, I think your sister Becky's probably the best singer out of all of you.
Well, she does sing, you know, she can well it out there, yeah. And, you know, and her son Dylan actually is he's getting cutting an album right now.
Wow.
You know, like 21, 22 years old, and he's being produced by the same guy that did Chris Stapleton. So, you know, cool. Dylan Carmichael, he writes really good songs too. For me, being a proud dad and an uncle, it was, you know, to see our kids and take it another generation and pass the torch on and become the you know, the Montgomery family, you know, maybe we'll just be like the country music mob. Of country,
yeah.
You know, the family mob of country music.
Well, sure. It's a modern day Carter family in a way. let's be honest. Well, that's all great news, John. Man, it's so good catching up with you. Thanks for being on. Hello from the 90s with me today. Really appreciate it. Tell everybody hello.
Hey, Jason, it's good to hear from you again, man. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I'll get to see you. I ain't seen you in a long time, man.
I know.
Glad to hear you doing with.